Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Sorry for our technical difficulties. Well, if I haven't reminded you enough yet, we do, in fact, have a vacation Bible school coming up. Maybe you've heard that a time or two from me in the last couple weeks. But tomorrow night, starting at 7 p.m., I'm so excited. And in case you haven't heard me mention it, well, I have it on the projector behind us. So let's take a look at these things in case we've somehow missed what's coming up that we should be so excited about. As you know, we have a vacation Bible school that'll be 7 o'clock each night. But alongside with that vacation Bible school is also a gospel meeting, a chance for the adults to grow and hear the Word of God. As you'll see on the screen behind me, the children's class, they have a theme all week long. Their theme is they'll be studying about, wow, did Jesus really do that? An opportunity for our youth to hear about Jesus and the things He did while He was on this earth. But the adults, we have something to look forward to as well. If you'll look behind me, we have themes for the whole week, and that's called God's Plan for the Family. I'm really excited. Again, look at these themes, titles with me. Monday night will be Unless the Lord Builds the House. Tuesday night, we'll hear from Brother Mitch Davis about building character into your children. Wednesday night, we'll be hearing about expecting more from our teens. Thursday evening, the title will be When Children Misbehave. I'm looking forward to that one. Seeing how I can apply that to myself and to my child as he grows up. Friday night, Mitch Davis will be bringing us in a lesson entitled, But We're Not a Perfect Family. I hope you're as excited as I am about this upcoming meeting. And I hope that you remember to invite your friends, invite your family members. Again, kids, looking at you, don't forget to invite your friends. It's a great opportunity for those that you hang out with and play with during your summer break to invite them to come as well. However, if I am as honest with myself as I can be about a vacation Bible school or a gospel meeting coming up, I understand that the odds are that there's some normal human reactions that come along with those type of words, gospel meeting and vacation Bible school. Some might incite the emotions of interested, maybe even really excited about the opportunity. But there are some of us that, if we are honest with ourselves, some might even have the emotion of indifference or maybe even resentment to such words as gospel meeting or vacation Bible school. We know that some people feel that way if we're honest with ourselves, but tonight I have no desire to lay any kind of guilt trip on anybody about coming. That's not what we're talking about. Instead, the complete opposite. Tonight I want to give us the positives. Tonight I want to give us the reasons why we have gospel meetings, the reason why we have vacation Bible school, and I want to encourage each and every one of us to get excited and to be here as much as we possibly can this week. I will, before I begin, I will note that I understand that the name of my lesson tonight is Why Have a Gospel Meeting, and as one of my good brothers in the audience tonight has reminded me that it is in fact called a vacation Bible school. I understand that, and thank you. But there is also going to be a gospel meeting that'll be this week, and that'll be for the adults each and every night. So let's talk about why we have gospel meetings. Why our elders get these things together for us? Well, the first reason I have for us tonight, why have a gospel meeting? First, to support a great message. To support a great message. Gospel meetings proclaim the Word of God. That is a great opportunity. Something that we should look forward to and something that we should definitely support. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Before we read there, you might remember the last 5 Sunday mornings in a row, we've had a series. We've had a series entitled, How Do Churches Grow? If you were able to be with us on that first Sunday that the series started, you might remember that that series began with what is most important for churches to grow. Well, the most important thing for churches to grow, the way God wants us to grow, is by sticking to the Word of God. Sticking to the truth, not words of men. Let's read about the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." We need to understand that if we want to grow individually, if we want to grow as a church, I submit to you tonight that it all starts with the Word of God. Everything that happens in our life, everything that we obey is because we have heard the Word of God. New people this week that might hear the Word of God, whether it be children or adults, it'll all start with the Word of God. That's where growth begins. It all begins with the Word of God. Not by my opinion, not by opinions of men, but by the truth that we find in the words in this Bible. I want to again read chapter 4, verse 12, and break this down. "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword," and we'll pause there. Do we understand what the Word of God is? The Word of God is living. It's not something, some people see the Word of God as something written, you know, a long time ago, and how can that apply to me? That's not how the Word of God is at all. The Word of God is living today. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful, so it needs to be heard. It can change your life. It can change my life. It can change the life of those who will hear it this week. Continuing on, it says, "Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow." In other words, the Word of God is so powerful that it can pierce us. It can prick our hearts and tell us when we're doing things that we shouldn't. It can confirm the things that we are doing and encourage us to keep doing them. We continue to read, it says, "And is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart." The Word of God is something that knows everything about us. The Holy Spirit knows our thoughts, knows what we're thinking, and this can correct our thoughts and can correct everything that we are doing in this life. The Word of God. And speaking of the Word of God and how it will be heard this week, well, why is it so important for the Word of God to be heard? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 clearly tells us, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So if we know the Word of God is living, if we know the Word of God is active, and then it can convict men of sins and correct our lives, then what do we need to know about it? That it needs to be heard. It needs to be heard. Faith does not just come by someone walking down the street and just, oh, the Bible, the Word of God just stumbles upon them and maybe they listen to it, maybe they respond to it. No, it comes by hearing. That means that every single one of us need to take it to those that are lost. How did we all come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? We were taught it. We heard it, and then we responded. So important for us to understand that a gospel meeting is such a great time for the gospel message to be proclaimed to all of us and to the lost of the world. Tonight I'm going to do something just a little bit different. As we have a gospel meeting coming up, I think it's so important for us to really pray about it. Pray to God that the things that we do are in accordance to His will, that the truth that will be proclaimed this week will be heard by those that we bring in, whether it be the youth or adults. And I've asked tonight for our elders, our leadership, to offer us a prayer on our behalf. Beginning tonight, I would have asked Brother Richard Waddell to lead us in a prayer, but as he's unable to be with us, I'll begin and I'd like to lead us in a prayer on this behalf, and then I'll ask the other elders to do the same. If you would please go with me to God in prayer. Father God in heaven, we love You so much and we thank You so much for the physical blessings such as this space to meet in, the opportunity we have to come together as a body of Christ and worship Your name. Father, we love You so much and we thank You for these things as we know they are truly blessings. Father, we come to You at this time as we think about the great gospel message that we hope people will hear this week. We ask You that new people that have not heard Your Word before will hear it, and that they will be motivated to use it in their life. And we also ask You, Father, to please be with each and every one of us as we hear it, that we'll hear the Word of God and we'll want to more closely follow it today better than we did the day before. We love you so much, and we thank you for the opportunity for this upcoming meeting in Vacation Bible School, and we ask you to please be with that effort as we continue. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Savior's name. Amen. Why have a gospel meeting? First, to support a great message. Let me give you a second one this evening. Why have a gospel meeting? Why have a Vacation Bible School? Well, how about to receive a great message? The first point tonight is more directed at those that are lost, those that need to hear the gospel. Well, what about us? We need to be uplifted too, don't we? Absolutely. Why have a gospel meeting at Vacation Bible School? So we can receive a great message. And I tell you, a gospel meeting has a twofold purpose. The first purpose I have for us tonight is to evangelize. And speaking of receiving, let's begin with who is receiving this great message. Well, first tonight, I'll say that the children. We're having a Vacation Bible School, right? Each night this week, our children, as well as those that have been invited, will have the opportunity to hear a message about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God speaks many times to the importance of children being taught the way of righteousness. We see that in verses such as Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We are to teach our children, so that when they grow up, they'll continue in the ways of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Why do we have a Vacation Bible School? So that the children can hear these things, that we can train them in the ways of the Lord. But it's not just all about the children. We have Brother Mitch Davis coming to us to preach the Word of God. So that means that we can evangelize to the adults as well. As I stated earlier, each night this week we have the opportunity to hear more about the family. What's more important than the family? Each and every one of us can certainly do better than we have done, and we all understand that. I mean, that's common knowledge. We can all try harder to be a family of God. We can all try harder to be better husbands, better wives, better parents for our children. So we have a great opportunity to evangelize to other adults and to ourselves. And speaking of gospel meeting, having a twofold message or a twofold purpose, first is to evangelize, but secondly, I'll say to edify one another. To edify one another. As you're already in Hebrews, I'd ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. While this passage that we'll read together is obviously not limited to such things as gospel meetings, Vacation Bible Schools that our elders put before us, it can certainly apply to that. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Knowing that this is talking about the assembling of the saints. This is talking about us coming together for any opportunity we can. I'll read that again. Let us, as Christians, let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you can see the day approaching. To edify one another. Why do we have gospel meetings? Why do we have Vacation Bible Schools? So we can stir each other up. I put on the screen behind us, it's a meeting is a time to recharge ourselves spiritually. Do you ever get kind of low as you know, gone a few days of not being with the saints, not having the time to worship? We get kind of low with all the things going around in the world around us. A gospel meeting is a time to recharge those spiritual batteries. So let's read this verse again with that in mind. Verse 24, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." We are to come together any opportunity that we can to stir each other up. It says to consider one another. In other words, you are to love your brothers and sisters in Christ and think about them and think, how can I encourage them? How can I help them to recharge their batteries? Verse 25, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves." In other words, any time that our elders sit down besides the commanded first day of the week, we should always want to come together. Any time we have the ability to come together, don't look at it as, oh, that's just another thing I've got to go to. Something else to steal my time. No, that's not what it's about. It's about this. It's about that, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another. It's a time to exhort one another. and so much more as you see the day approaching. In other words, as you know the day of the Lord, the day of judgment is approaching, do it even more. In other words, as much as you can possibly get together with like-minded Christians and exhort one another, edify each other, we are told to do it. Likewise, there's another part, I think, that talks about edifying one another. I want us to read Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. In receiving a great message, we can be edified, but we can also have something else happen to us. We can be reminded to re-examine ourselves. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. This is Jesus talking to the church, the saints there at Ephesus, and He's reminding them, look, you once were good Christians, ones who always put Me first, always put your Father in heaven first, but you have left your first love. Your first love should be your Savior that cleansed your sins. Your first love should be God. A gospel meeting is a wonderful time to edify one another and also to look at each other and examine ourselves as we hear the gospel message preached. Let us remember, another reason to have a gospel meeting is to receive a great message. Furthermore, we need to consider what our absence from the meetings or our attendance speaks volumes to other people. First, we talked about it to support a great message. If we're not here, then are we supporting the message? No, we're not. If we're unable to attend because of other things, I understand that. But we need to see what is keeping us from attending these things. Is it some prior arrangement we can't get out of? Or is it just something that we find that might be more fun? Is it a television show keeping us from coming? Is it a date out with some friends? Is it sports that we have that are taking over, you know, our time to be with the assembling of the saints? Whatever it is you can come up with, we need to recognize those things. And we need to understand that our presence shows that we have a desire to receive a great message. On behalf of talking about receiving a great message, I want to ask our brother Barker at this time to pray on our behalf in regards to receiving a great message and our attitudes this week.
Lord, we're so thankful for this congregation of your people. We pray, Father, that as we go into this period of study of your word, that we can exhort each other, that we can bring our children to hear thy word, that we can be good saints. Invite our neighbors. Make us all fellow workers in thy kingdom. Help us to love you. Stir that we might be stirred up to the good works that we can do for our fellow man. It is a terrible thing to lose a soul. And let us all look at it as that we are losing souls in this country today. That we need to be more zealous. And we pray, Father, for your help in that. In Christ's name,
amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Barker. Why do we have a gospel meeting? Why do we have Vacation Bible School? To support a great message. To receive a great message. Thirdly, I'd like to submit to send a great message. To send a great message. Gospel meetings are a great time to allow us to demonstrate some things to ourselves, to our children, to our wives, our husbands, to our friends and our family members around us. First this evening, a gospel meeting allows us to demonstrate your priorities in life. Your priorities in life. Now I said this is not going to be some kind of a guilt trip, and it's not. I just simply want to go to the Word of God to show us how much we should be encouraged. Show us how much good a gospel meeting can do for ourselves, for our children, and for the community we live in, the lost souls that are around us. But there is something to be said for our attendance and whether our thoughts are with this meeting, whether our prayers are with this meeting. A gospel meeting allows us to demonstrate our priorities in this life. We need to show that the kingdom of God comes first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 reads, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We're told here what we should seek first. We should seek the Lord. We should seek any time we have to assemble together. It's so easy as humans, maybe even Americans. I don't know, maybe we're worse. I'm not sure if we are or not, but it sure feels like it. That there's always something more that we can do. Something, some shiny object trying to take our attention away. Some commitment that we have. But we need to understand that gospel meeting is a great time to demonstrate our priorities in our lives. To other people around us, again, to our children, and to ourselves. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if we do that, all of these things shall be added to us. Secondly, why have a gospel meeting? Well, to send a great message and demonstrate your attitude toward the gospel. We need to understand that our attitude is something that we might try to keep, you know, to ourselves, but friends and family around us can see our thoughts. They can see comments that we make. We need to have a right attitude about the gospel. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. Sadly, sometimes Christians can love the Lord in the assembly of the people, but then when we get out in the world, we get a little bit more shy, and we kind of get ashamed about talking about it in front of other people, and we should not do that. And the gospel meeting is a great time for us to demonstrate we are not ashamed of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." The Word of God, a gospel meeting, a vacation Bible school for all of the children, that is a great time that we should not be ashamed of. We should not be ashamed because it tells us right here in this verse, what is the Word of God? What is the time like a gospel meeting? It is the power of God to salvation. It's a wonderful time to begin raising up our children in the knowledge of the Lord and encouraging and edifying ourselves to make sure that we are following the Lord and following Him first. Thirdly, why have a gospel meeting? To send a great message and to demonstrate your concern for the lost. In other words, that you care. When we attend things such as the gospel meeting, when we come out to different things the elders set before us, our presence shows that we care. We are to care about the lost. Just as Brother David Barker prayed that any lost soul is a terrible thing. Do we ever think about that? Do we think about all of our friends and family members that might not be saved? Do we consider, if today was the last day on this earth, where they would be? We need to really take to heart and have concern for every single lost soul. Anybody around you, whether you know them or not, but if you know them and they're lost, that should come to you even harder. And it should make you really want them to be saved. We need to have a true concern for the lost. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, I'll read with you. Starting in verse 35, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then He said to the disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into His harvest.'" That is exactly what's happening this week. As we continue to pray, and we pray fervently for the gospel to be heard, that's what's happening. We're praying for the gospel message to be heard. We're bringing in someone to hopefully edify us and encourage us and exhort us to more good works. That's how we need to feel about those that are lost. We need to have a true concern, and we need to pray that lost souls will hear the message and that they'll truly repent and live their life for Christ. Finally, this evening, gospel meetings allow you to demonstrate your support for your own brothers and sisters in Christ. It shows that when you're here, you want to encourage each other. When we're not here for one another, we're sending a message whether we know it or not. We're sending a message that you're not as important to me as something else. We need to understand that as Jesus tells us to truly be a family of God, that's what we need to be. We need to be a family that loves each other, is concerned for each other's souls, and shows each other that we love each other and we're here for you. Romans chapter 15 verses 1 and 2 says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." In your spiritual walk, everybody's going to be somewhere different. One person might be really strong in knowledge. But we need to understand that some of us aren't as strong in the knowledge. We need to understand that some are new babes in Christ, while some have been Christians for years. This verse tells us that those who are strong, you need to be with the weak. You need to encourage them, edify them, love your neighbor. That's what we're doing when we're coming together during a gospel meeting, a vacation Bible school. We're showing we love each other and that we're here to edify, we're here to encourage, and that we want you to be strong in the Lord. Finally, I want to ask Brother Dwayne Steinle to come for us. I'd like him to lead a prayer in regards to the great message this week that we can send to others in regard to our attitude and the things that we show other people around us before I offer the invitation tonight. Brother Steinle.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this evening. So thankful, our Father, that you have entrusted your word with us. And we're humbled, our Father, that you count on us to spread the word to the lost. Father, we pray that for the meeting that's coming up Monday through Friday, we pray, our Father, that the announcements that we handed out on Saturday and all the people that we talked to, we pray that you will touch their heart and cause some of them from the neighborhood to come into our four walls so that they can be taught. We pray, our Father, for boldness for ourselves, that we will come out of our comfort zones and that we'll ask our friends and neighbors and co-workers to come and hear thy word proclaimed. We pray, our Father, that you'll prick our hearts and that through that it'll cause us to not be complacent, to be zealous and ever ready to spread the gospel. We pray, our Father, that you will prick our hearts and cause us to be prepared to teach others, that we will sacrifice some of the things that we like to do, and that we will become students of your word, ever ready to teach those around us. Father, we know the devil is a roaring lion, and that he's walking to and fro upon the earth, and help us to resist his temptations. Help us to resist all the things that this world has to offer that keep us from serving you. Our Father, as we prepare for the meeting, help us to realize, our Father, the impact that we have on one another, and the fact that people are always looking at us and looking at us for an example. Help us to be good examples for young and old. Help us with our lives, our Father, to glorify Thee and to encourage those about us. Father, we so much want to save souls and to spread Thy word. Help us to be strong. Help us to have a plan that this church may grow and that the light of thy gospel will go forth in the surrounding neighborhoods. Father, most of all, if in the end we pray that we will have done the things that you want us to do, which is to serve you and keep your commandments and spread the gospel, that you'll give us a home in heaven with thee. This will be our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for that prayer, Brother Steinle. Hope that our time together this evening has encouraged us to see why we should have Vacation Bible School, why we should have a gospel meeting. Again, this evening, I want us to understand that we have an influence. We have an influence over our friends, over our family members, over our neighbors, even our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a great responsibility and a great influence. That's the kind of message that we should be sending. I'm so excited about for this coming up week. I know you are too. I want you to understand, as I've prepared these things, again, this is not to try to in any way say, well, you better be here or else. That's not what it's about. What this week is about is a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to support a great message, a great opportunity to receive a great message unto our own selves, and it's a great opportunity to send a message to all of those around us that we love the Lord, we're not ashamed, and we want you to hear the gospel as well. We'll extend an invitation this evening that if you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ, don't wait until you hear a bunch of great messages next week. Don't wait another day. If you love the Lord with all your heart, you understand Jesus Christ is your Savior. Repent away from sin. Confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, as the New Testament tells us that is what it says. If we can help anyone tonight become a child of God, or if we can help any Christian already have been saved to rededicate their lives to Him tonight, we'd love to pray for you. Love to encourage you. If we can do anything for you, we ask that you come and let us help you as we sing. Won't you come?